My sermon today is out of Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to give it to you in brief. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about the fact that we were two different people, Jews, Gentiles. Well, let's look at it. This is kind of the intro to Ephesians. We're going to go back and do an intro, a historical intro, and then we'll go verse by verse through Ephesians. It'll take us a lot of weeks. It's the most marvelous book in all of Scripture, except for Galatians or Romans or possibly Colossians. They're all marvelous. But look at this. Just look at the beginning. This is after coming out of Ephesians 1, where they get saved, really, spiritual blessings in Christ. And now he's getting personal here. Watch what he says. Now, I'm reading out of NIV. As for you, he's talking to these people at this Ephesians church, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live. You were dead in that very place you used to live. That's where you hung out. That's where you used to live your life, in death, without Christ, right? Without Christ, you're dead. And that's what he said. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. What? What did he just say? You were under Satan. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, and you were doing Satan's dance. He was in control of every aspect of you, but that's not who you are anymore. Satan wants to own you, and that's why the world's so messed up. That's why you run into people that are so blind and mean, and they say things or do things, and you just go, what are you thinking? They're not. They're in a trance. They're confused. They don't see with the mind that you now have. You now have the eyes of Christ. You see the world in a way different way. That's why you look around and you go, I don't get it. Good. Thank God you have a different mind. You're seeing through the lens of the Holy Spirit. Now watch these people. And of the ruler of the kingdom of the air that we breathe, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. In other words, the rest of the world. Satan is at work, even in their air. Every breath they breathe, Satan's involved. All of us lived among them at one time. And we gratified the cravings of our sinful nature, or the flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. God had already pronounced his wrath on that, on a sinful lifestyle, and we were objects of wrath. You know this. If you want to walk in sin, God is going to judge you and come down on you like a hammer. He is going to ride you and break you. No, that's not true. Sin has its own consequences. You go ahead. Don't believe me? Give it a try. Go out there and sin a while. There's consequences. It will break you down. It will bring you bad juju. Your life will be a different life. You walk with Christ, everything changes. Oh, you believe in that name it, claim it Christianity. Yep. Yeah, sort of yes. In this sense, I claim Christ and I believe that he's going to walk with me. And I believe he's going to shield me from the arrows, the fiery darts of the enemy. I believe he's going to walk with me, help me make better choices, help me make better decisions. And in so doing, better consequences, right? I tell my kids that all the time. Yeah, go ahead, make that choice. There will be consequences. Now, it isn't consequences like your dad's going to spank you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about dumb choices come with dumb answers. It just does. Thank you. You just won the dumb award. And that happens. That's what he's saying. By nature, they were objects of dumb. That's who they were. Because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. He reached out into that world of deathness, darkness, stupidity, and he pulled us in. How? I don't know. I try to figure that out. Theologians try to figure out. How did he? I don't know. I don't know what directs his hand. I don't know what makes him choose some over other. I don't know how it works. But I know that we get a chance to respond to his offer. Now, some would say, no, he pre-wired you. I don't know how it works. I don't want to get there. That's not the question. The question is, where are you right now? And where do you want to be? That's the question. If God's offering you, this day, he says in Hebrews, today, while it's called today, take it. Come home. Get out of that dark world today while it's called today. I like that in Hebrews because he doesn't even define the day. There's no date or even segment of time. Today, while it's called today. Hey, it's called today. It's not tomorrow, and it's definitely not yesterday. Thank God. It's today. So today, step in. Today, walk with God. Today, say yes. So he's reaching out into your heart. If you hear his voice, that's him calling. Some call it the hounds of heaven. Whatever it is, if you feel it, go with it. And if God's working in your life and telling you, I love you in spite of your bad character, in spite of your bad decisions, or in spite of that stuff going on in your head, he loves you. Take hold. Thank you, Jesus. I needed that. I needed that. It's so easy for me to condemn myself. It's so easy for me to be down on myself. Oh, God, I need your grace. I need your love. Other people don't see that part of me, but you see it. Oh, thank you. That's grace. That's Jesus. That's Christianity. Let him love you. Let him love you. Remember, Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. You wouldn't let me love you. You wouldn't let me in. Don't be that guy or girl. But it says, you who were dead in your transgressions, or when they were dead in their transgressions, it's by grace you have been saved. Ooh, what does that sound like? Sounds like Ephesians. Sounds like Ephesians 2. Oh, 8 and 9. Oh, we're coming to it. It is by grace you have been saved. Circle grace. Underline have been saved. That's past tense. It's a done deal. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. How did he express it? In kindness to us in Christ Jesus. He loves us. For it is by grace that you have been saved. Through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. Not about works. So you can't boast about it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared for us in advance. Listen, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He's already marked it out. Your name's on it. There's stuff to be done that only you can do, that he has set aside for you to do. You. Me. Yeah, you. God wants to use you. He's going to use you. He's already using you. That's God's thing. But don't miss this. Back up, for we are God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do all this. God, workmanship. God created you. Let me tell you, that word workmanship is fantastic. That word is poema in the Greek. What does that sound like to you? Poema. Poem. Poem. That's what I always wondered why poem was poem. P-O-E-M. Stupid. Should be P-O-L-M, right? Poem. It's a poem. Or a P-O-M-E. Poem. It's a P-O-E-M. Poema comes from the Greek word poema, which means work of art, masterpiece. Masterpiece. Really, that word can be translated masterpiece. You know what a masterpiece is? Who is it that did the Statue of David? Was that Michelangelo? That's Da Vinci. It's Angelo. It's Michelangelo. That's the thing. That's his great masterpiece, is the Statue of David. I went to see that. How many have seen David? Have you seen it in person? It's in Florence. You would think there'd be all these big signs and all these, doot, 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 let's go see David, come on. No, you're just walking around, and there's a bunch of Italians wandering around, drinking espresso, and you say, you know, I want to see David. I want to see this thing. My whole life I've been an art major, and I want to see it. There were no signs. Through this alcove, into this room, and there's David. This room is tall as this, and there's David, and he's standing on like a 4-foot pedestal, and there it is. It's 18 feet tall on a 4-foot pedestal, so we're talking 22 feet the top of his head. It's up there. His hands are this big, right? So David, you know how he is. He's standing there. He doesn't have any clothes on, but he's standing there like this, and he's gorgeous. It's a beautiful, beautiful, the face of this statue is very compelling. And there he is standing, and you just go, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And you just sit there, I did, and cry. You go, how can a human make this? This is divine. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. You can see the veins in the back of his hands. He had to carve down below and beyond those veins. Think about carving something and leaving a vein, leaving the wrinkles in his fingers and his toes and every part of him. This guy had to chip, 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 and leave that. I see that thing as one of those things where God goes, this is divine. Take a look, enjoy it. But I look at that and I go, that's Michelangelo's thing. Or it's the Sistine Chapel, you know, phenomenal. But all of those things show us masterpiece. They show us glory. They take your breath away. And that's what you are. What? That's what he says. You're God's masterpiece. You. Not just that guy or that guy over there. I know that guy is, but I don't know. Me. No, you. You're exactly what he had in mind. And he carved that exactly. He left that just right. And he made that just so. And he did that. And he goes, these works? Yeah, this person. He's deciding who you are because he's got stuff for you. He's made you just so. Oh. Oh. That's Ephesians 2. Quickly swing over to Ephesians 3 and watch this. In Ephesians 3, he's going to talk about this mystery. I'm going to go verse 8. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. What mystery? This mystery, we're going to talk about that. For which for ages past have been kept hidden. It's like that thing where they take that sheet off of the beautiful masterpiece and go, ta-da! This is what he's doing here. This is what he's doing. He said, forever this sheet's been over it because I wanted to show you at the right time. Watch. And he pulls off the sheet and he says, this thing was kept hidden in God who created all things in him. So this mystery, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. That means demons and serpents and all of these things are watching according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is he saying? I purposely brushed through this because I didn't want you to see this. But he says this. It says, I'm going to back up. It says, this mystery which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now the manifold wisdom of God should be known to the rulers, to the authorities in the heavenly realms. This is his purpose. That now this would be shown. I left out a word. His intent was that now the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to all of heaven. What did I leave out? Through the church. What? Here it is. You want to see his wisdom? You want to see his intent? Want to see his purpose? Want to see God's glory? You want to see it? Want to see it? Watch. We want to see it? The church. That's what he just said. This is his masterpiece. All you poemas, there it is. We are his intended purpose to expose to all of the universe his glory, his power, his majesty, and his wisdom, his manifold wisdom, his many-sided wisdom. You got a ring, a diamond ring, and it sparkles and all that because of the manifold cuts on it. That's what brings out the beauty and the glory. Manifold meaning many-folded, many-sided thing. You are God. Us. Not you. Us are God's manifold wisdom. Wait, Mike, I've watched the church. I've watched pastors fail. I've watched churches go nuts. I've watched the church cause violence. I've watched the church cause, you know, people will say that. There, more violence has been done in the name of religion. Religion. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about love. We're talking about grace. And the church is his manifold wisdom. He pulls off the sheet and he goes, there it is. And he waited for just the right time to expose this incredible thing. He waited for just the right time. And guess what? You're it. We are the manifold wisdom of God made known to all of the universe, to all of the spiritual realms, to everything. We are it. Well, why am I not seeing it? Because you don't know the cure. Because you don't know who you are. Because you haven't taken time to study and to listen and to see that you are the very thing God intended, and He's got a beautiful plan and a purpose, and you are it. You're the poema of God. Oh, that whole part right there, you got to circle in chapter 3. That's incredible. Ephesians chapter 3, and I guess the big part is 10 and 11. According to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Ha! Woo! We're the manifold wisdom of God. Are you seeing this? Now, go back up to verse 8 on chapter 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by your works. So no, you can't boast about it. For we are God's poema, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus to do those good works which He already prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly, verse 11, you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised dogs, you uncircumcised, that's what they'd say. The Jews would call the non-Jews, there were Jews, there were Gentiles, uncircumcised. They would say that. That's a funny phrase. Uncircumcised by those who were called themselves the circumcision, but that's the circumcision done by hands. We're talking about a different circumcision done by God on your heart. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. He's talking about the Gentiles. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel, talking about Gentiles, and you were foreigners to the covenant of the promise. You were without hope, without God in this world. But now, in Christ, you who were once far, far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one. For He Himself, Christ, now there was great hostility. Let me tell you, the greatest hostility that's ever existed in all of the universe is between Jews and everybody else. That's why the Jews are the most hated people on the planet Earth, because they always said that. We're God's people, you're not. We're the circumcised, you're not. Kill those Jews. They make me sick. Get rid of them. That's why in Gaza and all that, they want them gone. The great hostility, this is where it started. It's their own fault, but they are God's people. They do have God's blessing. They have His scriptures, and that's where our faith comes from. Whew, man, this is a powerful passage. For He Himself is our peace. So He took that, who has made the two one. God took the Jew, the Gentile, and made them one, has destroyed the barrier of hostility, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and its regulations. The law is gone. It's fulfilled in Christ. So Jews can't walk around and go, we keep the law, we keep the law. No, doesn't matter. I'm in. I'm in because of Christ. He kept the law. I'm in. So you can't say that you're circumcised and I'm not. I'm in, by a circumcision done by Christ. I'm in. You're in. We're in. Now watch. I'm going to wrap this up with this. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. The greatest peacemaker the world has ever known. There it is. Now, we're always trying to make peace in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East, because nobody is accepting who they really are. Well, if you accept who Christ is and who you really are, there is peace. But they still want to go Jew, Gentile, Jew, Gentile. No, 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 no. It's Jew, Gentile, church. There's a new man. There's a new race called the third race. All of the second century, they called themselves the third race. That's what they called them. That's what the church was called. You are a third race. You are His poema, thus making peace and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death all of the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, Jews, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, all that, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Listen, this is it. This is the wrap up. You're in. You're it. You're the glory of God. He has made peace. He has made, taken away the hostility. You're a new creature, something never seen before. Remember? The manifold wisdom of God seen clearly. But when there is a new creation, a new creature, a new species, that species will die if it's not in a proper habitat. Every species has its habitat. You know this if you've taken biology, if you've taken junior high science, you know this. And every species, when taken out of its habitat, will die or become a perverted species. Something wacko happens to it. You have to be in the proper habitat. You are a new species, a new creation, a new creature, a new thing. What is your new now habitat? The one place you can grow, the one place you can thrive, the one place you can live and without which you will die. You know what it is? The church. Ecclesia is your habitat. When we do koinonia, we're doing habitat. When we do koinonia, we're doing what we're designed to do, those works which he created before the foundation of earth. When you pray with somebody, you speak words of health and holiness into their life, that's your habitat. When you come here, ecclesia, called out ones, when you come out of the world and all your activities and all your distraction and all that stuff that owns your heart and your mind and your emotions, and you come here, you should be able to go, I can be me. This is it. If you can't be you here, then we've got a problem. If you can't be exposed here, then we got a problem. We're not the church. We're not the ecclesia. If you can't be known and received even as messed up as you are, then you're not in the ecclesia. But I'm telling you, when you come to the way, you're coming to the ecclesia of God. You are coming to that place where is your home. It's your habitat. You were made for this place. Go ahead, go to other places. If they're not ecclesia, if they're not doing the habitat of God's stuff, you're gonna suffocate. You're gonna die of starvation, and you're gonna die because you can't breathe. You can't be you. You can't function. You can't be known. You can't be exposed. You can't be received. You can't be protected. That happens here. Now, I'm not saying we're the only place that does this, but I'm saying we are a place that does do it. We are the ecclesia of God. We are doing what Scripture has commanded, demanded, designed us to do. That's what we are. So if you wonder what this whole thing is about, what Mike Filippi is about, and what Dave and Don are about, what are these elders doing? This is what we're doing. We're doing ecclesia. That's what we're doing. We're preparing a habitat for you. God prepared it. We're just ushering us in. This is it. This is uncomfortable for a lot of religious people. If you're self-righteous and I can do it myself, good luck. Bye. You're not going to be comfortable here. You're going to find this a little bit invasive, a little intrusive, a little too at home, a little too comfortable, a little too not religious. Some might even call it sacrilegious. And I would say, yeah, really, we are sacrilegious. We're against religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with a true and living God. So we are sacrilegious. Some have said we're a cult. You got it. We're the Jesus culture. Now, cult has been stolen by the world and been used to mean something negative. You know, this top-down guy that's dominating everybody and causing them to do his dance and whatever it is. Now, that's not what we mean. The word cult comes from the word culture, and Jesus says there is a culture. It's called the ecclesia. It's your habitat. Be a part of that culture. And we're helping you to dial into that culture by directing you to good things that will steer you to Christ, that will steer you to a deeper walk, that will help you understand who you are. Our goal isn't to make you something. Our goal is to expose who you really are. You are a new creation. You are dynamic in Christ. You are powerful. You have authority. And you are not subject to the whims and ways of this world. Though the world may fall apart in front of you, so what? Psalm 91. You know, though a thousand die at my right and 10,000 at my left, no one's coming in my tent because I'm protected by God. I'm walking in Him. Jesus is my tent. That's who I am. That's the ecclesia. Ecclesia, called out into the family of God. That's who you are. Let's stand and pray. And we'll wrap this thing up. Thank you, you guys. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Ephesians. We're going to go deeper in Ephesians and see exactly where we came from, who we are, and where He wants us to go. Oh, man, am I excited. And I get to be a part of the way. I can't even believe it. I still can't believe this is where God has brought me. This is a magnificent and wonderful place, and I'm thankful to be part of your family. Amen. That's Jesus. Father, what a teaching. Woo! Thank you for Ephesians. Thank you for Paul. Thank you for exposing yourself. Thank you that we are your poema. Woo! Thank you that we are the manifest wisdom of God made known to the universe. Help us to see that and to walk in it, Lord. Continue to expose our identity to one another. Continue to draw us closer to you that we might be closer to one another. It's hard, Lord, being honest. It's hard being transparent. It's hard not hiding because we were taught so well to hide through our whole life. And I pray that you expose all of us. Expose us. For the hypocrites that we are, for the liars that we are, for the transgressors that we are. But in Christ, all of that's old news. In Christ, it's all being healed. In Christ, it's all been taken care of. And now it's our job to step into the reality of the new creation that you have made us. We are the poema of God in Christ. So now as we go out of this gathering, I pray we go out into our identity and we shine the light of Christ wherever we are, boldly, knowing that we are what this world needs. We can love. We can speak wisdom into people's lives. We can embrace difficulties, sin, hardship, and walk people through it. And no matter what the enemy throws at us, we're okay because we walk in the full armor of God. That's who we are. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you that in Christ, we're taken care of. Ooh, thank you, Lord. And we say these things with great gratitude and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go play. Go enjoy life. Amen.